Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Second to last Red Friday of the year. Kansas City Chiefs soon but surely headed to New Orleans. Nathan, Fesco, Lycan, we're all with you this morning until 10 a.m. And then the next time you'll hear from us, we'll be in New Orleans. Covering the Chiefs in the Super Bowl for you, for 96.5 The Fan, for The Fan. Because that's who we are, and that's who I care about.
That's right.
That's right.
Way to go, Tommy.
That's right. Went a little heavy on the pine tree there, pal.
I was just sorry to tune in late to you, Dusty. Yeah. You told me right before we went on, Sean McDermott, so I got on and started reading what he had to
Is
say.
Is it true?
Oh, my God.
Sean McDermott basically told his team, we're not going to get the calls, but we have to play above it. Is that correct, the quote?
That's exactly right. I will read the quote. Quote, we went into the game, and one of my messages to the team, and this happens from time to time, is you're not going to get calls, McDermott said. We're not going to get calls. And I think when you prepare a team, you prepare them ahead of time mentally for this is the way it's going down, and you live with that. That's not the reason why we lost. You start looking at that. You lose sight of all things. The fact that he put that in their minds is grounds for termination as a head football coach of the National Football League. This is two coaches now in a row who are sitting there preparing their team a week before saying, the officials are going to be a big factor in there. And, you know, listening to a little bit of what Nazee Johnson had to say yesterday on Sirius XM, he said, we knew exactly where Josh Allen was going because his tendencies are going to our right, his left, every single time on the quarterback sneak. So you knew, the other team knew what you were going to do. So instead of changing up what you do and going to the other side, you decide just to put it in their head that the officials are going to be out there. And that's one more thing, you know, that they had to worry about. If I told you, hey, the big boss is listening to every word you say today, how would you do the show? Be honest with me.
Myself?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel comfortable at that point with her.
No, I'm talking like higher up. The highest boss in the company is listening to every word you had to say.
Oh, I don't give a rip.
You don't?
Yeah.
Okay. You wouldn't sit there and be cautious about everything you had to say. They're listening to everything you had to say. I think you would be, because I think everybody would be. If you put that in somebody's mind that something different is going to happen that you're not used to, you tend to overthink, right? Everybody overthinks things that they don't need to overthink. And you're telling athletes now and football players that, hey, you're going against Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Kansas City Chiefs, and the officials. And you got to worry about the officials. You play different when you worry about that kind of stuff. You've tensed up your guys when they go into a game by doing that kind of stuff. And that eliminates them from the game immediately because they're focused on the wrong things. And, I mean, it's just the fact of the matter is, and we'll get to it later as we go on in the morning, the Chiefs are just a better coach team than everybody else. And when they're picking up on tendencies all season long and after just about every game, we're hearing players say, yeah, we knew that was going to happen. We knew that was going to happen. We knew that was going to happen. How great does that show you what this Chiefs coaching staff is all about? I mean, what do they got in store for Philadelphia right now, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the full context of, like, how he said it or when he said it. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think to be fair, to, like, counter-argue, I think some people can be different. It may not have affected Josh Allen, but it might have affected, you know, a different player, like a receiver. But people will be put off on that. Like, for instance, I had teachers growing up that when the principal came in the room to observe the classroom, they didn't miss a beat.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
They were still, it was still like Mrs. Andrews. It wasn't like, now there were some teachers where it was like, she's not normally like this.
Yeah, you know? Right.
But I don't personally, like if somebody were to tell me like, hey, they're watching, or hey, they're like, I know our boss, our spec, I know when he's listening to us every day from 8 to 8:30, he's in his car.
Right.
So I know he's in there. Every day I know that. I don't change the way I deliver something.
We used to have a boss years ago, the big boss here at the company, and we were told he drives to work from a certain time to a certain time, and we were not allowed to talk about certain things when he was driving to work.
That's fair.
And so it was like, we got to kind of plan around when you know the guy's going to be in his car, you know, and do all that kind of stuff. Because it was all about, you know, when the new airport was coming on and, you know, kind of civic stuff that we, you know, we were talking about that affected everybody. He was so mad that we would talk about that kind of stuff. And so when he was in his car, we had to plan the show differently and talk about things differently because we knew this guy was going to be in his car. And that did put, you know, constraints on some things that you want to do and have fun. You never want to have, I think anyway, you need rules, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're like relying on people to go out there and do a job, I don't think you want to put restrictions on them or give them other things to think about, because I know me personally, I am an overthinker. That may be the Aries in me. I don't know. But I overthink, and I overthink about things I never should overthink about.
Mm-hmm.
And then it does have an impact on me. And I've tried to be better about that because I know who I am as a person. And I know if I went into a game and my boss was telling me, all right, we got a great game plan, but these guys are out to get you. I'm going to be like, okay, do I try to do something different with my technique? Do I do this? Do I do that? Do the other thing? Like, it's just one more thing you have to think about. And I think for athletes, the less thinking, the better. Just let guys go out there and do their thing and do what they do best. And you're holding them back by saying, this guy's going to call you for pass interference. And then number five, Elam gets burned every single play that he's, you know, causing penalties and all that kind of stuff. So it's, to me, it's a horrible look. Like, remember that guy who played for the Royals, Nick Prado?
Oh, yeah.
Right? I don't even know if he's still. Remember I said just see ball, hit ball? Like, I gave him that advice, and for 2 weeks he was doing good. And Matheny was, I don't think, very happy about that, right? But having a guy like that who made every at-bat and every inning and every game seem like it was the most important thing ever, you can't be at your best like that. You just can't. So take all the distractions away. And if I'm the coach and I'm leading these guys, you guys go out there and play. We'll see what happens, man. I got confidence in you. And be done with it.
Yeah. I want to be done with the refs if we can.
I know. I do too.
I mean, maybe it'll pop up again in the cover two later. It will. I know. Because we're going to do it a little differently. But yeah, I mean, you know, this is going to keep happening. You're going to keep hearing these stories.
Yeah.
Again, you can dodge it or you can let it affect you. It's the one friend in your friend group that knows how to push your button.
Yeah.
If you want to keep going, we can do it all day, because you can debunk that whole ref thing in the Buffalo game very easily, because you can just say to somebody, 3:33 left in the game.
That's exactly right.
And then it's just like, and their next response is, Well, the situation, it's like 3:33 left. You had the ball left.
Chiefs win by four. I guarantee it. I guarantee the Chiefs win by four in that situation.
You had 3:33 with the ball.
Right. So,
no, but let's get into it. The big game is the big game coverage, at least, on 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Member owned, open to all, invested in you. Join today at communityamerica.com. It's real now, right? Uh-huh. Like, I think after our meeting with both bosses yesterday, I walked out here with a little bit more pep in my step because everything was more solidified,
right?
You know, not to give away too many details of our trip that doesn't need to be told, but now we kind of know where we're going, where we're staying, what we're doing, where we're eating, what we need to expect, our position at Radio Row. And then I got my car. I'm like, holy cow, this is real. And, you know, not what I mean by us. I mean by, like, the damn game. Mm-hmm. Like, we're, you know, what, 8-9 days away, basically, from playing this game against Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can throw everything else out. I think you, because here, the new stories will evolve, right?
Oh, yeah.
The Saquon versus the team, the offensive line versus the defensive line.
Boy, they
line.
Had two more guys on their offensive line out again
yesterday. Did you see those DNPs yesterday? A lot of DNPs.
I know it's early, and I know it's like fake injury reports.
Some of it was like veterans rest.
Right.
But you know,
Cam Jurgens being out is a big deal, right? He's like their second center already this season.
And their left guard.
Yeah, Lane Johnson, he's out as well.
Guess who plays over those two guys?
Chris Jones, and Charles Omenihu, Derek Nnadi, you know, Turk Wharton,
that's what I'm
Mike
saying.
Dana. So, let's go, guys.
Like, I was on I forget what, I have to look up the thing on my Twitter, but it was on a radio station in Boston last night. Big Patriots guys, obviously. And they were talking kind of similarities. And I was telling them stuff about, like, Julian Edelman, how I'm a huge fan. And so when I was talking to them about the game, and I was like, yeah, because they were going to have they did it well. They have a Kansas City guy on, a lot of radios do this. And then right after I'm off, Philadelphia guy.
Yeah.
So I've got to really kind of like set the tone. And I was telling them, I was like, well, if you think about it, if those guys are injured and the two guys that play over them are Omenihu and Chris Jones, you've got a lot of trouble on your hands. And I know Philadelphia roster wise is the best team.
It's great. We said it at the beginning of the year. I don't know how many times you and I kind of had that conversation of, is it Minnesota, Detroit? I kept saying, I think it's Philadelphia. I think they're the best team in the NFC.
Roster-wise.
And here they are roster-wise. You're right, man. They got a great roster.
They've got that Cooper DeJean guy in the secondary. They got the guy coming back from the injury that's been out since November. He's playing defensive end. They're going to try to get him to play. We know who Saquon Barkley is. We know who Dallas Goedert is. But again, like, The Chiefs are, like, I think Cody said this yesterday after the press conference. They're the healthiest they've been all year. Yeah. I know Rashee Rice isn't here, but
here all year, right?
But, like, yeah, replace that with Hollywood Brown. You've added Juju Smith-Schuster, DeAndre Hopkins. Everyone is good to go for the Kansas City Chiefs. Mm-hmm. And there's some spots in that Death Star of Philadelphia that you can't attack. But, again, you should start to feel the hype of this game. Like, this weekend is whatever. Going to be nice weather here, you know. Relax the mind. And then obviously everything will ramp up next week when everybody's around each other talking about one particular game between two particular teams. And this is when you start to get there. Like Friday, you're still wearing your red, whatever you're doing. And I think now is when you could really dive in. I don't want to hear about the Buffalo game anymore.
No, I'm done now with the Buffalo game. Right? But I mean, it continues to be thrown out there because it is the low-hanging fruit, and it gets clicks, and as Ben says, content farming. And that's what people do when they, you know, they throw that stuff out there. But if Sean McDermott's opining in front of the media yesterday afternoon, still on a Thursday, about a Sunday game and still blaming the officials, you got to take a rest,
pal. So somebody's like, hey, let's go for a hike. But hey, be careful, there's poison ivy. Does that destroy your hike?
It does.
Okay. Yeah, would you rather them not tell you than you get it?
100%. Okay. My dad sent me a message yesterday, 2 days ago, right? And he goes, he sends me this article, the largest tuberculosis outbreak is in Kansas City, you know, in the country in years or whatever it is. I'm like, I don't need to know that. That bothers me. Or when somebody says, you know, so-and-so was sick today at school, my mind immediately goes, oh, God. No,
somebody's coming home.
Yep, exactly. So, yeah, if somebody would say, yo, yeah, there's poison ivy out there, I'd be on high alert, and it would definitely impact my mind on how I work. That's why I go to therapy. I mean, it's no secret. I'm nuts. But, I mean, like, yeah, but that kind of stuff, oh, yeah, that's the OCD, like, you know.
Where's that?
That kind of stuff, right? You know, like, it's just.
Beware of dog. Oh, shoot.
Yeah. No, where's the dog?
It's a little, little puppy.
If you don't tell me, I'm fine. I don't need to know. I'm on a need-to-know basis. But then you tell me stuff, and I'm like, oh, then I start thinking about it and worrying about it and stressing about it. Like, that. I know how I am as a person. I think there's more people like that than me that I realize, and I'm sure other people have that, you know, thing as well.
Do you tense up when somebody's like, hey, so-and-so's listening?
I would rather not know.
Yeah.
I'm with Bob on that. I don't think I would change, at least In my head, I wouldn't change, right? But I can't say that I wouldn't, like, subconsciously, like, start to psych myself up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm with you. Like, if someone's sick or if someone, the boss is, just don't tell me.
Don't tell me. Yeah. I'd rather not know. Yeah, I'd rather not know. Like, we got an email. I'm trying to get some stuff worked out in New Orleans, and I have to go through our corporate office to do a couple of things. And I got an email from the guy who's the head of vice president of sports programming, essentially our biggest boss. He goes, can't wait to meet you. Love your show. I'm like, oh, God, this guy knows. We're on the radar. So that I'm like, I gotta meet this guy and be on my best behavior and all that kind of stuff. So you know, it starts moving that direction. That's my mindset, and I know others have that as well, especially athletes who are trying to do their best all the time. You just can't clog their brains with nonsense.
Get busy living or get busy dying. Just continue to be yourself. Kurt Warner, Mad Dog, all these guys who play the hits on the other side here. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Well, I'll tell you what, everybody's getting ready to head out of town at some point in time, right? You're getting ready to fly out, whether it's going to the big game, maybe you're planning spring break, summer vacations, whatever it is, business trip, you need to park at Park & Go at KCI because they're all covered parking. And with the snow and the ice and the sleet and the nasty weather, you don't want your car ruined by sitting out at the airport. That's why Park & Go is perfect, because every spot is covered parking. And with Park & Go, they make it so easy to make your reservation. Once you book your flight reservation, go immediately to bookparkandgo.com. Or their easy-to-use app. Make your parking reservation, prepay, save money. You're done. And then on the day of your flight, you show up, you give them that reservation number, and they direct you right to that spot that's been reserved for you. The van meets you immediately and takes you right to the airport terminal. And as soon as you get back, just grab your bags, walk off the plane, and the bus is there waiting for you. Jump on it, and it's right back to your covered car. So do what we did and join their frequent parker program and earn points towards free parking. Reserve your spot today at bookparkandgo.com. The best deals in parking. Bookparkandgo.com. Park & Go, family owned and operated.
I'd love to tell you the referee talk is over, but it's not.
We just told you it was over. What happened, Dustman?
Troy Aikman spoke.
Oh, God. Again?
Mm-hmm. Per Awful announcing, quote, there's a lot of money that's changing hands with these calls. I think that we owe it to the fans that we get it right, and I think that we're at a point in time where we can get it more right. So that was really my position in just trying to lean on the NFL and say, hey, we got to fix this. We got to address it in the offseason. So maybe not necessarily towards the Chiefs, but he's kind of making a valid point.
Well, I mean,
if there's money involved.
There is. And that's the big thing that everybody keeps going back to with, you know, all the legalized gambling now and the sponsorships with the leagues and whatnot. I mean, you're looking at the NBA. They've got another investigation going on that came out yesterday. Some college guys as well.
Did you hear? I don't know. Obviously, I probably watch way more than I should, but it was Terry Rozier, right? That's the guy who was
from Miami.
He was prop betting.
That's right. Yes.
This was Bill Barnwell on how to fix everything.
Yeah, the common thread here between the Jontay Porter case and the allegations here against Terry Rozier are that these are prop bets and under prop bets for a player who does not play very many minutes or way fewer minutes than somebody was expecting. And this is a relatively new thing to the sports gambling world. I mean, gambling and sports has been going on as long as there's been sports, but you could not go to your local bookie 20 years ago and bet on a random player's under for rebounds in a game. Right. And that is the new thing happening here. And something has happened in other countries as well. We've seen in England, for example, there was a famous case where a soccer player tried to kick the ball out of bounds early in a match because there was a market for getting the ball out early in a game. Cricket, an opportunity to bet on a no ball, basically a wild pitch in cricket, led to a scandal. As you have more and more granular bets that teams are dealing with, there's more opportunities to exploit the game. And even for a player who has a ton of money, again, allegedly, you know, there's the possibility that could influence them to do something that they think would not influence the game, really.
So wouldn't it be in a league's position, Bill, sorry to interrupt, just to say, you know what, those granular bets, the ones you're talking about, those really far-fetched prop bets, completely off table now.
It does seem like the easiest way to resolve this is to remove the unders from prop bets or remove prop bets altogether.
I'm not involved in that. Like, I don't like that idea at all.
Don't do that. Like, sorry that this one clown
is ruining
is doing it, but like, eventually, if you keep ruining these people's lives to do this, the fire eventually will tell the person, it's hot.
Yeah.
Stop touching it.
You would think like once Jontay Porter got a lifetime ban for this a year ago, like less than a year ago now, that everybody else would say, whoa, that guy got his livelihood taken away from him. I don't want to lose, even if it's an NBA minimum salary, you don't want to lose that minimum NBA salary to do something like that.
I would almost guess and I could literally ask Alex Cole, and I bet he would look at me and laugh and ask me if I'm serious, the most common bets in betting now are prop bets.
Yeah.
That's literally I bet every single time I bet on a game.
Right.
I bet over Patrick Mahomes touchdown passes, over Travis Kelce receptions, under Saquon Barkley rushing yards in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Very rarely are my parlays money line, spread, team.
Right.
To me, there's two reasons why. One, it's so, I don't know, it's not as fun. And
prop bets are fun.
Prop bets are, to me, the way to go.
Yeah.
You can do what you want. Someone's not telling you in a prop bet what you have to bet because there are alternate ways. I mean, I guess there's that way in the spread, but also you can take yards or receptions. You can take rushing yards or touchdowns. You can do whatever you can. But to get rid of all of it because a couple of guys that play the sport got caught, think about how many guys that aren't getting caught.
Right, exactly.
These are two. These are John Taylor guys.
And then some college kids. I think they mentioned Temple University. There may be something going on there as well. But listen to this. I got this from David Payne Perdum, who's the ESPN gambling guy. Mm-hmm. Nevada casinos net win in December for certain games, right? So 1 month, Nevada casinos made $104.2 million on blackjack, $33.5 million on craps, $35.5 million on roulette, $199.6 million on baccarat, and $179.2 million on penny slots. You know what the casinos in Las Vegas made off of sports in December?
I saw this article.
$15 million. Not
yeah.
a lot.
Yeah.
Not a lot. So instead of getting rid of prop bets, they may find a way to generate more prop bets because $15 million in 1 month just for those Las Vegas casinos on sports is not a lot. So I think you may start to see some tweaking and whatnot to how things go on to kind of favor the house and to try to get them, you know, on the plus side a little bit more. But I would assume that would mean more prop bets for everybody to take part in. And if you're gambling and you're in sports and you're doing stuff like that, you're done. It's pretty simple. You're done.
Yep.
Go kick rocks.
Yeah, your career's over. Hopefully you're good at gambling because that's where your income will come from. Also, not sure if you saw this before we get into Chiefs topic because there's no football this week. Shaquille O'Neal last night, the best pregame show.
But I'm looking forward to the Ja Morant, Jalen Green matchup.
Well, Ja Morant's out tonight.
Okay, so Ja Morant's out, so forget that. So,
great research, Jack.
They are playing well. They are playing.
Great research.
That's why he's the best, though, Dusty. I mean, honestly, that's
the guy clearly
why.
Clearly did not look at anything before. Nope. He didn't want to hear if Ja Morant was hurting or not.
Really looking forward to Ja Morant. Ja's not playing well. I'm not looking forward to Ja Morant.
Yeah, so forget that. And they all are just like, dude, like, Kenny's so embarrassed. And then Chuck beat Kenny to the stage last night or to the screen.
Oh, that's great.
The big board. It's so good.
God, but, it's so funny.
Speaking of great and greatness, this is what Kurt Warner, who hates outdoor football, had to say.
I mean, probably. And I think why I say that is because this is a different era. And the teams that have won these three have all been different. And they've had different strengths. And so it's weird to say, man, this is the best run for a team because there's so many different pieces. You know, when I think back to the Cowboys run or the 49ers run or the Steelers run that they had, you know, and maybe even some of the Patriots, obviously they did it over a long period of time, but you feel like the pieces were so similar, you know, from year to year to year. And what's so impressive about this is they've had so many different guys that have stepped in and played monumental roles or made monumental plays in this run that, yeah, you have, you know, your few guys that have been stalwarts, the Chris Jones and obviously the great players, the Patrick Mahomes and Kelce and Reed, but there's so many different role players around that that, you know, first year, oh, this guy and this guy were our best player. Well, then they were gone. And the second year, well, this guy were our best players and they're gone. And now it's just that to me is what's so amazing about what they've done. It's not just the same pieces and let's just run it back with those same guys where those other eras, for the most part, free agency wasn't quite as crazy, especially the earlier eras. And, you know, and obviously they're doing something that nobody's ever done before. So that's what makes this so impressive to me is that they've reinvented themselves numerous times to find the best iteration of themselves each and every year, play their best at the most critical times, and then find ways to win the closest of games.
Do you realize how hard that is to do, what Kurt Warner just said? Constantly reinvent yourself, change your roster. And as we said yesterday, was it seven guys have been here the entire time? Two of those, the kicker and the long snapper. So, I mean, you talk about a roster turnover and not only just losing players and replacing them, but replacing them with better players. I mean, who have we truly lost off of this team in this era where we look around and go, God, I wish that guy was still on this team, or boy, we really need this guy on this team. The answer, nobody. Maybe Orlando Brown.
I was gonna say, you might have an argument there.
Maybe Orlando Brown. But other than that, I mean, and we didn't like when he was here, right? But other than
that, we didn't know how good we actually might have had it.
Yeah, true.
I think it's the Captain Hindsight.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, this guy, man, he's constantly this, he's constantly that. Then it's like, well, here's Wanye.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, yeah. Well,
where's Orlando? You know? Yeah. But I mean, other than that, and that's a big other than, there's not one guy that walked away that I look at and I go, boy, we'd be better if we had, because every time a guy walks away, they just win another Super Bowl. I mean, it's amazing.
I will be just the devil's advocate.
Yeah.
I think if you still have Legarius Sneed, you might not have given up more than 10 points a game.
Maybe.
I mean, like,
yeah,
so.
But
again, I will say this, but, like, Sneed was hurt all year. So if he's with the Chiefs, is he still here? Because last year, every single game, it was like, well, his knee's doing something that we don't know what his knee's doing.
Right.
And then this year, I don't know how many games he played. I think half the season. But I think that would be a guy, like, if you have to play the opposite side of the conversation. Because radio's boring if we just sit here and be like, yeah, Bob,
right,
totally
no,
agree.
Exactly. Yeah.
Coming up next, we agree more.
Right.
But, no, I would say, like, Sneed's probably in that conversation. I'm not even going to say Tyreek Hill because it doesn't make sense because you're about to do something that has never been done before after losing him.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, maybe Sneed, maybe Orlando Brown Jr., but I mean, like, that's the pickings.
Yeah,
like, I mean,
right?
That's where we're
stretching
at.
And we're like kind of looking like, maybe.
Yeah, whereas people might, in other places like Carolina,
right?
They had a bunch of talent and they let it go. Tennessee had a bunch of talent and decided to say, you know what, you guys are not going to pay you and you're getting older. One guy played in the NFC Championship game, the other guy's playing in the Super Bowl.
That's exactly
right.
So
it's like, and sorry.
But also, too, like, you get into those situations, and that's why it's so, like, amazing what this organization has done and been able to do, because you're right. Like, Carolina is more the norm than it is than what the Kansas City Chiefs are. We're breaking every norm out there by losing players and replenishing players, losing players and replenishing players. You see it all the time in the NFL, the ebbs and flows of you're good, you're good, you're good, and then everybody gets paid, and then you're bad, and then you're bad, you're bad, you're bad, and then you're good, you're good, you're good, you're good. And that's kind of the way the league is designed. And the Kansas City Chiefs have just been able to maintain greatness over all of that, those interchangeable parts. And that's why I always go back to that Patriots dynasty. And when Patrick Mahomes came on and we saw how good he was, we said years ago, they're not going to pay guys around Patrick Mahomes. He's going to have to make guys better, just like Tom Brady made guys better. And he did. Tom Brady made everybody better around him. And that's what Mahomes does.
Well, if you look at, like you were saying just now, Tom Brady, everybody around him, like, he took a pay cut so they could go load up the defense.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot of offense. I mean, obviously, as he got older, he got a key piece, which is, I think, what you'll see with Mahomes, right? Like, early on, Tom, when he was youth and could move a little bit more, I mean, nobody really, that was significant. And then as he got older, it was like, okay, then there's Wes Welker, then there's Rob Gronkowski, then there's Rob, and there's Aaron Hernandez. That guy killed people and then went to jail. And then there's Edelman, and it was Gronk and Edelman. And, you've kind of seen that with Mahomes over the last 2 years. It's been his running game, which Tom Brady always had a good, decent running game.
He always had a good running
game. But then he always had two targets that he trusted with everything. And it was Gronk and it was Welker. Or it was Gronk and it was Edelman. Or it was, whatever. And last year it was Rashee Rice, Travis Kelce, Isaiah Pacheco. This year it's Kareem Hunt, Xavier Worthy, Travis Kelce.
Travis Kelce. It's completely different. And you haven't missed a beat. Like, it's just insanity to me that they are able to replace so many key figures and continue winning. And I mean, that's Brett Veach, that's scouting, that's Andy Reid, that's the coaching staff. I mean, putting these guys in the right position helps all the time. I mean, look at the Denver game. Obviously, now the Buffalo game, as we're finding out, the Chiefs knew exactly what the Bills were going to be doing on those fourth down sneaks, and so they were ready for it. That's why they didn't get the first down. The Chiefs outcoached you. And so you look at the Patriots of that early dynasty. I mean, the first wide receivers that Tom Brady had were like David Patton and Troy Brown, I think, were like his early wide receivers.
Yeah, Troy Brown also played defense.
Yes, he did. Yeah, that's right.
That dude was a stud.
He
just didn't move the needle.
Right. But
he wouldn't T.O.
Right. But they found ways to win.
But he fit their system.
Right. And Tom Brady made those guys better. The defense carried him early on. And here we sit in a 20-year dynasty, you know?
Yeah, listening to Andy Reid's press conference yesterday, it was interesting because there were some funny clips, obviously. Cheeseburgers were referenced. Food in New Orleans was referenced. Mm-hmm. And I think the interesting thing, though, is that like you can hear from what him and Mahomes had to say that it's like a three-phase system. It's the opportunity to become somebody that you're not, like within a team mindset, like a person, a teammate, and all that, and try to make yourself better every day is what Mahomes said like two or three times. And then Andy Reid's like, yeah, these guys, you know, they build this trust, they get through here, and then they execute. Like executing is the final step. Mm-hmm. Like it's similar to like getting a project from IKEA, right? There's 50,000 screws. There's a whole bunch of boards. But if you have the calm mindset and the focus to set everything out in a nice, orderly fashion, and then you start to execute it, your product is where it needs to be. You also have those people that are, you know, bad franchise. Like, well, I don't know what we're going to do. And I don't know. We're going to go over here. We're going to do this. It'll just work out. And then it's like, what did you do? Like, this thing's going to fall apart in, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah, like Cleveland.
Whereas, the Chiefs are over there.
By the way.
The nuts and bolts are here. The washers are here. The little wrench they give you in the plastic bags over here. You know what? We may not need that, but it's here. We could use it if we need it. And then when they're done with it, it's like, damn, Andy, you put that thing together pretty well.
Because that's the execution. The guys are able to execute because the coach teaches them and puts them in those right positions where they just have to go out there and execute. They don't have to worry about anything else. Again, back to how we kind of started the show, the Chiefs players are going out there and playing free and clear. They're going out there and playing with a great mindset. They've been prepared all week. They're ready to go. All I got to do is go out there and execute the game plan. Bring it on, man.
Right. Is this guy on our side now?
I don't think so myself. And I don't love the game because we've seen this game 2 years ago. If you look at the divisional round with Buffalo and Lamar and Jaden Daniels and Detroit, this is the worst matchup you could have gotten. The sports fan, again, we saw it 2 years ago. I'm chiefed out, and I can't embrace the Eagles. But the original thought is when you look at these other title teams, these dynasty teams, Pittsburgh, Green Bay, any team that you want, the Patriots, they're not about just the one player. This Chief team is about the quarterback. Mm. I mean, Pittsburgh had 9 Hall of Famers on it. They won with defense and they won with offense.
What?
Green Bay had 9, 10 Hall of Famers
can
on
kill it.
This
yeah,
Chief
just
team.
Ended. Yeah, this guy's
There's
talking about stuff
more
in the 60s
care.
And the 70s. Nobody relates to that anymore, Mad Dog. Seriously, like, I appreciate you bringing the old school approach because I like history and all that. But eventually, you've got to evolve and move on and stop talking about the 67 Green Bay Packers and the 75, you know, Pittsburgh Steelers. The Pittsburgh Steelers were led by defense. It was a defensive era back in that
day.
It was
a steel curtain.
Right? So they won by defense. And you want to start talking about Hall of Fame players. Like,
Chiefs have like 8?
Yeah, I mean, we can get into how many people of this era are going to the Hall of Fame for the Kansas City Chiefs. It's not just Patrick Mahomes. I mean, that's one of the most ignorant things I've ever heard somebody say. And I know, again, he's content farming and all that kind of stuff. There's one thing to go out and content farm. There's one thing to go out and be being ignorant. And Mad Dog in his takes on the Chiefs have been ignorant. And please, I mean, I'm not.
At least he's owning it.
At least no,
I will
yeah,
say this:
yeah.
he hasn't gone somewhere else.
Right?
Like he's stayed with it. Like he's leaning into that grouchy old man.
Yeah.
Well, they're not the purple people eaters.
But
how many
Super
Bowls did they win?
They didn't win any, yes.
Yeah.
But here's the thing that like I don't think Mad Dog seemingly understands, and this is where I am, and I will die on this hill. All right. This is one in sports. I will die on this hill. It is harder to win today in professional sports than it was yesterday, than it was 5 years ago, than it was 10 years ago, than it was 30 years ago, 40 years ago. Each day that goes by, it gets harder and harder to win these games because everybody's bigger, faster, stronger. Everybody has all this tape. It's a year-round activity for everybody else. Like, you're going to tell me guys who played in the 60s and 70s who were smoking cigarettes on the sidelines, working in the lumberyard after games and practices and just doing random things, you know, to make ends meet are better than what we're seeing today? Get the hell out of here with that take, Mad Dog. That sucks.
The two reasons I would say that sports get harder today than they did before is, one, athletic build and sports science, right?
Yeah,
like the
absolutely.
Way these athletes look. Like if LeBron played in the 80s, dear God.
like with his body style right now in the 80s?
Yeah.
But that body didn't exist in the 80s.
Right.
Like nobody worked out.
Yeah, like the evolution of time. Also the evolution of the game and the sports. Like some people, I guess you could have the reverse argument, would say that golf has gotten easier because the club evolution, the ball goes further. Like back when they were playing with like legitimate like wood
sticks.
So I don't know.
Hasn't the golfer gotten better too? I mean, golfers are now taking care of their bodies. Yeah, the evolution.
Well, that's the Tiger effect. Yeah. Like Tiger came out and beat all these old men with beer bellies and smoking cigs, and it was like, oh, this guy's ripped. And he's getting sponsorships and a lot of action at Denny's late night,
right.
Which is a dream for those other guys.
Yeah,
maybe not Tigers, but no. I look. I mean, yeah. I've always had that same argument. I don't think that's a hill that you die alone on. I think that cemetery will be filled to where like you have to buy more plots. But yeah, I mean, sports get harder for sure. Like the talent gets more and more evolved into it. Like you look at football back in the day and watch how some of these guys, you know, threw it. And you're like, you know, would Terry Bradshaw look like a great quarterback today? Or
no.
Would he be Trevor Lawrence? Like, I don't know. Like maybe you can't.
There wasn't as much competition either back then.
And the other thing too is like, maybe just let those periods be theirs. Like let Babe Ruth be the greatest of his generation.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. Babe Ruth, we've had that conversation of what his greatest is, but at the time there wasn't any comparison. So he can have that.
Right.
It's not fair to take somebody from 1950 and compare them to somebody from 2020. If Patrick Mahomes, if you do the Bill and Ted thing, you put him in a phone booth and took him back to 1965 Football League and he was himself in there, the world would stop.
They wouldn't know what to do. These guys would not know what to do.
You can't have that comparison.
Right.
The evolution in science and sports has gotten so, and there's been much too much time to sit back and say, oh yeah, that's what pass interference was. Back in the day, the guy just ran on the field and some guy clocked him and was like, incomplete. Sorry, wasn't there to catch it.
Right.
It's like, well, we got to stop that. So, I mean, it changes.
Yeah, it does. And the comparisons, I mean, it just.
But that's a Russo take.
Like, I know it is.
That's just who he is.
Like, I really think the only thing that is comparable right now for the Chiefs in football is that Patriots dynasty. That's it. That's the closest one to where we are. It's on top of
mind. It's
that
or the Yankees baseball run.
Yeah, if you want to compare it to another sport. Yeah,
that's as far as I go.
I mean, you know, Michael Jordan, the Bulls, people will throw that in as well. But from a football standpoint, we've got to stop comparing this team and this organization to stuff that happened 100 years ago now. I mean, in 1965, Super Bowl I was 59. We're going 59 Super Bowls, right? 60 years ago, we're talking about.
Right.
And he's trying to say that there are better teams that were playing back then. The guys may have been tougher back then, if you will, because they would bite their fingers off and go out and play and bleed from their head and, you know, played with concussions and stuff like that because we were stupider back then, for lack of a better term, dumber back then than we are now. And we let all these guys play. But other than that, I mean, I there's no comparison to what guys are doing today. Like, there's not one guy who played on that Green Bay Packer team right now that would win a foot race in their prime with any single person on the Chiefs.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Like, if you take that team in their prime.
See, I took 97 Green Bay.
Oh, no.
I was like, well.
No, he's talking about the 60s
Packers.
Yeah,
no, I went back, and I was like, oh, yeah, the Dynasty. Because, like, when he said Dynasty Packers first, I was like, Dynasty Packers? I was like, oh, like Bart Starr.
Yes. And then you talk about the Dynasty Steelers of the 70s. There's nobody on that team that's going to beat anybody today in a foot race.
Well, there's only one thing he really keeps up with, and it's baseball, and he's still a month away from that from starting. So, as of right now, all of his NFL takes.
It's a big bundle of suck dust, man.
That's right. Coming up on the other side, we will dive into the new coaching circus and rank them. That's right. Our boy is back with another drop that you didn't think would happen. Plus, Jason Kelce will tell you exactly who he's rooting for. We'll play that next on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Well, Missouri sports fans, listen up. I've got great news for you. Underdog is available to play in your state. Underdog is the best place to cash in on all of your takes during the playoffs. Which players are going to go off and which ones are ice cold? And with over 5 million happy players, 2 billion won, Underdog makes it fun and easy to cash in on all of your favorite athlete performances. With their champs game, you could win up to 1,000 times your money just by choosing higher or lower on player stats, yards, touchdowns, interceptions. It doesn't matter. They've got it all on the Underdog app, and they've got your favorite leagues, teams, and stars to choose from as well. And every dog deserves a second chance. With Underdog Rescues, you can get your money back and receive a promo if an early injury causes your entry to lose. Underdog is the best place to play, so sign up now and deposit with promo code Bob and get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly. Then you can play with us on the big game. And if you're in Missouri, you'll get an additional $50 in bonus cash when you play your first $5 entry with promo code Bob. Must be 18 and over, present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. $10 deposit minimum. See UnderdogFantasy.com for terms and conditions. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Diving right back into it here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Bob Fesco, Nathan Dusty with you as well. Hope we have having a good Friday. Snow's all but gone.
Almost. Couple of piles still around.
Be gone by Saturday, that's for sure.
I hope so.
And then Sunday is 60 degrees here.
Nice.
A lot of people are going to be playing golf in a slot pit. I will not be. But that's okay.
Boy, the backyard. It's a mud pit out there now. The dog comes in, mud's everywhere. It's like, I got to mop every time you send the dog out.
Oh, you don't have a little towel by the door?
We do.
Okay.
But, I mean, you know, have towel, rug, all that kind of stuff. And she still gets, you know, muddy.
Yeah. It's just, it sucks. It's like, you better really have to go if you're going outside.
That's right. Yeah. Up at 11, up at 3, you know, like, whew.
Yeah, it is true. Did you see our boy is back? Duval. Part two.
That was the second. That's a different one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
I mean, once wasn't enough?
No, they gave him another chance, and he doubled down, man.
Oh, my.
Liam Cohen's out here, man. He's ready to do it. Like, this was one. Duval. And then he did Duval.
Which one do you like better?
The first one.
Play him again.
Okay.
It's like the eye doctor. Or B?
One or two? Duval.
Mm-hmm. That's one.
This is two. Duval.
I kind of like the ending of that one better. It's a little more upbeat.
You like the remix.
Nathan, which one do you like?
Well, Liam Cohen's remix, I think, is more like the original or like what it was supposed to be. I remember when they were here for that divisional round, they would chant that. I think that second one's better. Okay. But that first one's going to be timeless, man.
Especially the way his face looked when he did it.
It's his kneecap moment. He's never going to be able to get away from that.
I mean, the kneecap moment ended up working out. So
it did.
Who are we to judge?
Yeah, it really did.
But if the Lions never got good, we'd still be mocking him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We would be making fun of him.
I'd like to thank the Clarks.
Yeah.
Good thing he was decent for a couple of years.
I mean, that's still one of my favorite. I'll never forget being in the locker room and the story with Dwayne Bowe importing women in San Diego.
Oh, boy.
And I mean, it was one of the most bizarre stories, and he had to address it, obviously, because it was a big story in Sports Illustrated. He would talk about on the road importing women into the hotel. I mean, it's stupidness, right? And so he has to address the media. He's sitting there. He goes, I deeply apologize to the Clarks. Mm. And from that day on, to this day, even people in the organization are still like the Clarks. And there's a band out of Pittsburgh called the Clarks. And the team tried to get them to do the national anthem one time, I was told. So, it's just the Clarks is so good. It just, that'll be the all-timer for me.
The burning, desiring question that everybody's wondering is, who is Jason Kelce voting for this year in the big game?
We can't tell who you're rooting for, Jason.
What are you talking about?
Unbelievable.
This is just what I'm wearing around the house. I just have a lot of Eagles gear.
I mean, it makes sense.
Here's the biggest thing. For me, obviously, you're my brother. I always root for my brother. That's the reality of it. All right. Even though I'm decked out in Eagles gear, I'm always going to root for Travis.
Take that, Philly.
But.
What?
Yeah, but there's a lot of people in the Philadelphia organization, whether it's players, coaches, people in the building, that feel like extended family to me, especially my former linemen. Like Lane Johnson feels like a brother in a lot of ways. I'm rooting for those guys too. I'm rooting for Philadelphia and I'm rooting for Travis Kelce. That's the reality of it. No matter what, on game day, I'm going to be happy for one of those sides. And I'm going to be sad for the other side.
Yeah, I was about to say, it'd be mixed emotions, man.
I still feel like I am a Philadelphia Eagle and that I'm a part of all of these people that root and cheer on our team. I would be lying if I said I don't want the Eagles to win, but I also want Travis Kelce to win. So that's a long-winded way of saying I just want to see a good football game, and whoever wins, I'm going to be happy for that guy.
You heard it here first, folks. He wants Travis Kelce to win.
What a great answer, though.
And Jason Kelce, that's 15 years of perfect PR polishness.
Yeah. You could have asked for a better answer, right?
No.
Who are you rooting for?
Who's your favorite child? Well, they're both great. And I love them both to death.
Right.
And, you know, they're awesome.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's a good. It's what he should say, though. I mean, look, his life is Philadelphia. He's a legend in Philadelphia. I mean, other than
I'd have dropped Philadelphia as soon as that fan was a clown towards you when he was trying to get an autograph. You remember that video?
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, could have done that. But I mean, he's got a lot of money on the line there with his, his livelihood in Philadelphia. His family's, his wife's from. I mean, they're Philadelphia through and through, right?
He's rooting for Philly, but he's rooting for individual Travis.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah, like
he can't lose.
Right. Big win. Travis wins. Yeah. Fantastic. Philadelphia. Wins, you're probably going, damn, I should have stayed another year. that's the other thing, right? You know, exactly. I mean, they're down to their third string center now in Philadelphia. So, but it's a great answer by Jason. You root for your team, the organization that gave you everything in life, and you also root for your brother, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't know. There's nothing wrong with sticking to your fandom or the team that got you there, right? Like, I mean, if Alex were to do a radio show in Missouri, he'd still root for Kansas, but, support the state, whatever it means. But, look, Jason Kelce, perfect case scenario. He can't lose. But also, I think there's probably more of a connection now to the Chiefs than there would be for Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you're not, I don't know, your blood and your family's over here, but yet what you put in for your entire career is there, but you're not, you've been disconnected.
Right.
But not by, you're not completely cut off. But you're not necessarily there.
And he's not like a rando Eagle that had a cup of coffee there or something like that. Like this is, I mean.
Never played anywhere else, finished his career, won a championship.
Maybe I'm wrong by saying this, but I would think a lot of people in Philadelphia would consider him like their Mount Rushmore of Eagles. I mean, when you start to think about the impact that he had, who he is, what he's meant to that city, what he's meant to that franchise. I mean, he's bigger than just football, obviously, which Travis is as well.
Is Andy on that Mount Rushmore? He's their all-time winningest coach.
You'd have to ask them in Philadelphia. I was listening again 2 days ago, and one of the hosts is like, I don't even really remember Andy coaching here. I'm only 30. And
he has the most wins in your entire franchise.
I know, but that's what we said. You go back to, these guys now that are in their 20s, they don't remember that because Andy Reid's been here 13 years. They were 7 when Andy got done coaching in Philadelphia if they're 20 now, You don't really remember all of that. Is Andy on? I would think... But
Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, he'd probably have to be on there. I think he'd have Rocky. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even know. But I know how popular Jason Kelce is in Philadelphia. I know how popular his wife and that side of the family is in Philadelphia and all of that kind of stuff. So I understand. You root for the team that got you there. But in the back of your mind, like privately, you say, Jason or Travis, go win this thing. Publicly, you take both sides.
Speaking of coaches and remembering, do you remember all the coaches that got hired this year?
I'm looking at the list. Yeah, yeah. But how many will I remember in 6 weeks? Probably not many of them. Yeah.
Do you agree with that list of rankings?
Yeah, somebody called at NFL Notify listed the head coach rankings of the hirings. They have Ben Johnson, 1, Vrabel, 2, Aaron Glenn to the Jets, 3, the Raiders, Pete Carroll, 4, Brian Schottenheimer with the Cowboys, 5, Saints unknown, 6, and then Jaguars Liam Cohen comes in at 7.
I think you could probably put Kellen Moore in that unknown category.
I would think so. I think
it's all but done. They're just giving him the respect of the Super Bowl and letting him kind of have his time.
Isn't that cool? Like taking over the New Orleans job in New Orleans when you're at the Super Bowl coaching your last guy. That's kind of a cool little thing, right?
It's like while you're there, check out the stadium. Let us know if there's anything you want different.
Yeah. Come over to the offices on a Tuesday and see what we got.
So down the hall to the left is where the head coach's office is.
Right, yeah.
Here's our facilities. This area is for private members. Okay, I got it.
Oh, wait. The Eagles are the home team, so they probably have the Saints locker room, right?
The visitor locker room. Remember last year there was the debacle?
Oh, yeah. That's right.
The Chiefs got the home locker room. They got to practice on the Vegas field, and the 49ers had to practice outside.
I forgot. Set off the fire alarm.
Yeah, you don't remember that?
I do now that you reminded me of it, but like those are things that I just because I did hear somebody, I think it was Brian Baldinger on a Philadelphia radio station complaining about the field, and hopefully the field's right this time. They don't screw up I'm like, okay.
Right.
I mean, that's where it really all started. We've blamed the field. We blame the practice facility. We blame referees. Like, what else are we going to hear people blame for the success of the Chiefs instead of just giving them credit for being really good?
Well, I mean, that's just what it is. Like, we're no longer going to have a natural just, yes, it's the Super Bowl. It's the Chiefs and it's the Eagles. And it comes up next. And then the report is, hey, guys, we're ready to do this. And now from now on, there will always be the storyline. Aaron Andrews will be on the sideline, right? She's going to be like, I talked to Andy Reid, and we asked about what he thinks about the officials and all the stuff that they get part. He don't really talk about it, don't really care about it. Like, he brought it up yesterday. Like, they asked him about it yesterday. He's like, oh, yeah, I don't really listen to that. It's like, sorry.
But it doesn't really affect him.
He's like, what am I supposed to do about it?
Yeah. You know? But the that's right, the field, the practice.
That's what it was
about
last year.
Practice facility, yeah. Because 2 years ago against the Eagles, it was the field. They blamed George Toma, 95-year-old man who's just basically a dignitary now, and they're putting the blame on him. I'm glad he told the NFL to get bent on that one, because they had nothing to do with that.
2 years ago, I guess last year I was I referenced for the Niners.
Yep.
2 years ago, it was the field after the game.
Yep.
And it was Bradberry and A.J. Brown coming out against Juju Smith-Schuster, and then he sent them a Valentine's Day
card. That's right.
It was fantastic.
Yep.
And then they complained about, the field, we couldn't get off the line. If we played on a neutral site that had actual grass, it'd be a different story, because remember, it was zero sacks.
Yeah,
Philadelphia had the defensive line, and they got zero sacks. Then last year it was, well, it's unfair that the Niners have to play outside in the rain in Vegas, and the Chiefs, it's like, this is how it works.
And weren't the Niners like not going to go down early or something again because they didn't like their practice facility set up? I mean,
so you still think Pete Carroll's the top of that list of coaches?
I do. Okay. He's a Super Bowl winner. You win the Super Bowl. You got into two Super Bowls. You have established yourself. He is the top coach. He's got the track record. Number two is Mike Vrabel on that list. He's got a track record as well. He's won. He's taken a team to the AFC Championship game.
Also has multiple Super Bowls.
Yeah, as a player. Yeah, absolutely. Like, those are veteran guys. Aaron Glenn comes in at number three to me. I like him, man. I think, like, as a leader, like, I think you can get behind him. I don't know if he's the right fit for the Jets, though, because they just went from that same type of guy in Saleh, and now they got Glenn. It's going to be about who he hires as an assistant, but I think he's got the pedigree to be a good head coach in this league. So he's my third. I got that Johnson guy four. I don't know. We'll see. I got Schottenheimer five on the list. Liam Cohen, I got to have six because of this whole Duvall thing. And then I can't put Kellen Moore on the list yet till I know that he's on the list. And I really don't know what Kellen Moore's going to do. I mean, I don't know. I mean, he's bounced around as an offensive coordinator. So I think the Raiders and I think the Patriots hired the two best head coaches available out there, in this cycle, because they got pedigree. They got Super Bowl winners. They know what it takes to be done. They know how to be head coaches. Like Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn, Brian Schottenheimer, unknown, and Liam Cohen, all are going to have to learn how to be a head coach. And it's hard to be a head coach. Go back and listen to the guy who was the interim coach for the Jets. And he listed like all the things that he wish he would have done differently as the interim head coach. Like, you have got to learn how to be a head coach and be a leader and understand that football really doesn't matter when you're the head coach of an NFL team. It's about everything else. You let your assistant coaches do all the football stuff. If these guys can realize that and trust their assistants and turn all that over, they're going to be much better head coaches than trying to do 10 different things at one time.
Yeah, I'd probably go Vrabel, Johnson, Carroll, Glenn, the rest is whatever. Kellen Moore should have probably already been a head coach, but he was in Dallas and, Jerry Jones, he'll go get the guy that's, doesn't make sense. He went and got Mike McCarthy. Then Kellen Moore's like, all right, I'm getting out of here. I'm going to Philly, where he could have been the head coach if Nick Sirianni didn't keep it together, but he did. So Mitch Holthus joins us in about 15, 20 minutes. But coming up on the other side, one man's trash is another man's treasure. I'll explain what that means on the other side. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Hey guys, it's Dusty Likens, and I know it's tough to talk about when it comes to low T or erectile dysfunction, or even for myself, weight loss. It's tough, I get it, but sometimes you just have to nip it in the bud and take care of it yourself, or you can have some help. And where you can get that help is with my friends over at Heartland Men's Health. Heartland Men's Health treatments work when the pills or the herbals fail. They have treatments with success rates well over 90%. Some treatments can even have you last an hour or more. Heartland Men's Health is successfully treating men in the Kansas City area. They have an expert staff, and if you are like a lot of men, you could be having sex the day after your appointment. They also have three locations to help serve you: Overland Park, Kansas; Independence, Missouri, between Blue Springs and Lee Summit; and their new office in North Kansas City. So if you need some help and you want some guidance, go see my friends at Heartland Men's Health. Call them today, 844-447-6600, or you can visit them at heartlandmenshealth.com.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.